And of course, as we know, the subject has been money and finances, as it is taught in the scriptures. And right now we're in the section of sins that are commonly associated with, or which money is the occasion of. And we looked last time at withholding pledges, not paying wages for work done, either paying them at all or paying them on time or paying adequate wages. Then we looked at not returning borrowed items. Today we want to start with sin. It's almost the opposite of what you would think. Many people are so set on riches that they give all their time and energy to it. And their whole life is like Psalm 127 says, they sit up late, they rise up early, they eat the bread of sorrows in order to accumulate wealth. Well, there's another sin regarding monies, but it's from the exact opposite angle. And what I mean by that is the proper way to earn our living and to gain our finances is by working a job and earning wages. But there are those who are sinning in the area of not working, refusing to labor, and so they don't have money. It's not because they're poor, but it's because they are guilty of what the Bible calls slothfulness. You read about sluggards. These are those who will not work as God requires. And there's a lot about that. First thing we want to look at is how God points us to a lesson taken from nature. Proverbs chapter 6. God has set many lessons and illustrations for us in the natural creation by which we can learn valuable lessons about living. And one of these is the ant. If we have a trouble with laziness, he says, what you need to do is go and observe the ant. And that's Proverbs 6, verse 6. Go to the ant. Right, who does God send to the ant? Thou sluggard, or thou lazy one. Consider her ways. Think about how the ant operates, and as a result, be wise. All right, what is it about the ant that we should pay attention to? He says, which having no guide, overseer or ruler. Now, how hard would some of us work if the boss was never there? Well, the ant doesn't have a foreman. Yet, it provideth her meat in the summer and gathereth her food in the harvest. In other words, when it's time to plant and prepare the crops and bring them in, the ant is busy at that. Not that they plant in that sense, but they do what they have to do to have adequate provisions. How long wilt thou sleep, O sluggard? When wilt thou rise out of thy sleep? In other words, wake up, you're in a stupor. And here's the attitude, yet a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep. I just need a little more rest, I'm tired. I just need to sleep in a little longer. So shall thy poverty come. All right? You have poverty headed your way when that's how you live. And it will come as one that traveleth. In other words, it's headed in your direction. You're about to get a visit. You're about to have a traveler stop at your door. What one? Poverty. And thy want as an armed man. So there you have it. We need to avoid poverty and want by working hard. Chapter 10, verse 4 says that. It says, he becometh poor that dealeth with a slack hand. Now, someone that's lax and negligent, someone whose hands are just kind of limp and they lay by their side and don't do much, that's a means to poverty. But the hand of the diligent maketh rich. Right, a hand that's strong and firm and sure, and that is engaged in labor. Diligence makes rich. And by the hand of diligence, it means being diligent in manual labor. Working, producing something of value that will bring a return by which we can have our needs provided. Proverbs 13, verse 4 says, the soul of the sluggard desireth, and hath nothing. In other words, a sluggard isn't someone that says, I don't care if I don't have anything. You talk to a sluggard, a lazy person, oh, they want this, they want that. If only I could have this, it would be so nice to have that. But all they do is wish for it. They don't make any physical effort to gain it by labor, and so all his desires come to nothing. He can never realize that which he wants because he won't take the steps to be able to get it. But the soul of the diligent shall be made fat. It's good to be hardworking. It's healthy. It's something that brings a fullness to your life, even spiritually. Laziness is not spiritually beneficial at all. You know, our bodies may become weak and tired, but our souls will certainly become lean and empty too. Chapter 14:23, it says here, in all labor there is profit. As if you work, it will bring some gain, some return, some benefit. Something of value. That's the purpose of labor. But the talk of the lips tendeth or leads only to penury, or again, want or lack or poverty. You can talk all day about what you're going to do, but if you never do it, nothing gets done and nothing happens. And that's in every area of life, you know, whether it's financially or spiritually. I'm going to start reading my Bible. I'm going to start praying. I'm going to start, you know, witnessing. I'm going to start going to church. Well, guess what? You just said that, but you haven't done it yet, and so nothing has come of it. It's until you put those words into action that anything good will result. And so there's the idea. You can talk all day and get nowhere and accomplish nothing, or you can get to work and start doing, you know, less talk, more action, and then things will start happening. Chapter 18 and verse 9, he also that is slothful in his work. Now, some person that works but doesn't work, he's even in his work, he's lazy. It's just dragging. No enthusiasm. You know, you can tell, like, I'm doing it, but I don't like doing it. I don't want to be doing it. And they do as little as possible. Well, that's a companion, it says, he's a brother to him that is a great waster. You know, you might as well consider that man a great waster, or if you check his company, you'll find out he's hanging with those who are great wasters. And slothfulness leads to waste. And so, again, if we want to be blessed, we need to be diligent in our labor, not slothful. Chapter 19, verse 15, it says, slothfulness casteth into a deep sleep. You know why some people need so much sleep? It's because they're sleeping all the time. the more they sleep, the tireder they get. And it, you know, this can also be in a mental or spiritual state. Once you get into a lazy mindset and lifestyle, you really are not aware of just how you're living. Other people can see it. They look at you and say, man, that guy's going nowhere, doing nothing. And yet, you don't even recognize it yourself. It you know, this laziness itself is like self-deceiving. It puts you into a sleep. And it says, and an idle soul shall suffer hunger. Now, if someone doesn't have the necessities of life because they're not willing to get out and work for them, and if they're able to, it's hard to feel sorry for that person. They brought it on themselves, and they're reaping the consequences of their own bad behavior. Verse 24, a slothful man hideth his hand in his bosom and will not so much as bring it to his mouth again. That's pretty bad. You know, you need your hand to bring food to your mouth. This guy hides his hand in his bosom rather than having to bring the food to his mouth. And you know, having your hand in your bosom, it made a nice picture as far as Napoleon was concerned. But it doesn't make a nice picture as far as a workman is concerned. Some people call it having your hands in your pockets. You ever had anyone ask you why your hands are in your pockets when you should be working? Because you can't do any work with your hands in your pockets. And so that's why you have to bring it out. If you're ever going to produce something that will get food to your mouth, it won't happen by having your hand in your bosom. In chapter 20, verse 4, I always tell people my hands are in my pockets because they're cold. Doesn't work in the summer. But notice, the sluggard will not plow by reason of the cold. You know, it's still winter. I mean, it hasn't even warmed up yet. I dare not start my plowing now. If I do, I'll freeze. Here, wait till it's a little more comfortable. And isn't it sad the excuses we come up with why we can't do what we should do? It's cold. You know, the Bible says if you watch the clouds and regard the wind, you won't sow. But if you don't sow, neither will you reap. And so if I think, well, spring is a kind of a cold, damp, nasty time of year, it's no fun having to get out there and work in that kind of condition. All right. Therefore shall he beg in harvest to have nothing. Harvest time's come. Well, no planting, no harvest. You can't say, I'll wait till the summer when it's comfortable out, then I'll plant my garden. And, you know, that way I don't have to worry about being chilly while I'm out there. Well, harvest will come, no crops. And so with all your begging, still come up empty. Verse 13 says, love not sleep, lest thou come to poverty. Sleep and poverty tend to go together. Now, that doesn't mean you shouldn't get adequate rest at night. We're talking about excess or excessive sleep. Sleeping when we should be working. And so he says, open thine eyes. You know, when you're asleep, your eyes are shut. So get them opened up, and thou shalt be satisfied with bread. Might be just a matter of waking up and getting busy. And then the bread will come again. Over in chapter 21, verse 25 and 26. The desire of the slothful killeth him. Oh, I want it so bad. Oh, I'm just being eaten up. Oh, I want that thing. Terrible. Oh, all I could do is think about having it. I'll die if I don't get that. Well, why is it that this desire is killing him and he doesn't seem to get anywhere with it? For his hands refuse to labor. Don't sit there wishing you had it. Get out there and do your job and then earn the money and if it's worth having, buy it. He coveteth greedily all the day long. Notice he doesn't work all day. He sits home coveting greedily all day long. But the righteous giveth and spareth not. A righteous man works, earns, has for himself, plus to give to others. And he's generous, he spares not in his giving. Chapter 24. Here's that famous picture of the field of the lazy man. I went by the field of the slothful. So I'm passing by and I see this field. Oh, that's Mr. Slothful's field. And what do you notice about his field? Well, also by the vineyard of the man void of understanding. A lazy man is a man who has no understanding. He's completely ignorant about life and what life is all about. And lo, it was all grown over with thorns, and nettles had covered the face thereof. Let me ask you this. What do you have to do to get thorns and nettles in your field? Nothing. That's just what he did. Exactly. And he also says, and the stone wall thereof was broken down. So it had a stone wall. I don't know if this guy built it or not, but by neglecting it, not even keeping it up, it was now fallen. Then I saw and considered it well. You know, sometimes you can learn a lesson by people who do wrong, so you don't follow them. I looked upon it and received instruction. He went by the field and he could hear something coming out of the house. Yet a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep. You talk about the diligent hand, this is the folded hand. How much work do you get done with folded hands? Well, you might be able to twiddle your thumbs, but that's about it. So shall thy poverty come as one that traveleth, and thy want as an armed man. So, the hand of the diligent makes rich, the folded hand of the slothful makes poor. And what's the Bible say about not working? 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. Ought Christians to be guilty of laziness? Is there any place for not working in the church of God? Not according to 2 Thessalonians 3 in verse 10. Paul said this, for even when we were with you, this we commanded you, if any would not work, neither should he eat. Now right from the beginning, it was God's intent for man to labor. He put Adam and Eve, even in their state of perfection, in a garden to dress and keep it. And so work was God's will for man, and it's for man's good. Work is a righteous behavior, as long as it's an honorable profession. And, of course, the gospel, because it brings God's standards to us and reinforces that which is right in God's eyes, it would direct us to be hard workers. As a matter of fact, he says, if any would not work, neither should he eat. Eating is always contingent on working. No work, no eat. For we hear that there are some which walk among you disorderly. Right, this is a disorder, out of line with what God would have, working not at all, but instead are busybodies. Now, they that are such, we command and exhort by our Lord Jesus Christ, that with quietness, not busybodies, but quietly tending to their own concerns and their own work, that they work and eat their own bread, not someone else's. Now, when a lazy man doesn't have bread, guess where he goes? To the other lazy man? To the diligent man. Because the diligent man has plenty of bread. And so he says, diligent man, can I have some bread? Paul says, no. Tell him, you eat your own bread. Don't steal mine. You're not going to work. Neither should you eat. Well, he said that laziness is a brother to a great waster. The next problem we want to look at is wastefulness. You know, there are all kinds of problems that money can bring with it. Some people, they're very miserly and stingy. They hoard everything they get and they keep it to themselves, and they, you know, they can barely let a penny slip through their hands to go to something else other than their own interests or needs. They're very tight and very self-consumed. And so they don't want to give up any money. They want to just accumulate it and have as much as they can. Other people, they no sooner get money than it goes right through their hands and out in spending. I mean, as soon as it comes, it goes again. They have the slipperiest fingers you ever saw. They can't hold on to a penny for a moment because it has to be used for something. They just want to be buying. And too often, we buy just for the sake of buying, and it's wasteful. Why'd you buy that? It was a good deal. Why'd you buy it? I don't know. I just felt an impulse. Saw it. It seemed like it'd be nice to have. You know, well, is that a good, solid reason for spending money? And so wastefulness is a great problem also. In other words, never have anything because we no sooner get it than it's gone again. Proverbs 19. And verse 10. Delight is not seemly for a fool, much less for a servant to have rule over princes. Delight is not seemly for a fool. Now, what is this saying? That word delight is the word pleasure or luxury. Now, it would not seem right for a household servant to be sitting on a throne with a prince sitting there before him and the servant commanding the prince and telling him what to do, what not to do. That's entirely out of place. That's inappropriate. That's not how things should work. Well, now it's saying it's not right for a fool to be taken up with luxury or excess. Now, what do I mean by that? There's some people who love to put forth the appearance that they are rolling in money and are well-to-do and wealthy, and they live way above their means, and they're always putting on the appearance that they have limitless funds. You know, a supply to draw from that will never run dry. And yet at the same time, they're either out of money or in debt and over their heads, and it's because they can't regulate their lives and their spending practices. And so they live, they live way beyond their means, way beyond what's necessary and what is convenient and appropriate. You know, like I say, having food and clothing is enough to content us, but no, when someone is a fool, they have to have all the best of everything and everything their heart desires, and so they live in delight or in luxury, and it's very sad. Best of everything. and yet at the same time, they can't afford it. And so they're acting foolishly. And this is where we have to be careful too. What standard of living do I really need to live at? You know, what is really necessary and what is excessive? You know, what would fall within the category of need and what would fall in the category of luxury or excess? And so this is an area we have to be very careful in. Chapter 21, verse 20. There is treasure to be desired and oil in the dwelling of the wise. As the wise, those who are living according to God's precepts and doing what God requires and are enjoying the blessing of God, it says in their home you're going to find things of true value. You know, they'll have adequate supply of their necessities. Treasure and oil. So there's things of real worth and value. But a foolish man spendeth it up. You go to the house of a foolish man, and, well, what do you got extra that I can use or that you could share? Nothing. I spend it right up. Quick as it comes, it goes again. And I can't help you. And again, you're going to find that if we're careful and prayerful, and if we are wise and led by God, we'll have enough for ourselves and to help others rather than foolishly spending everything up so that we find ourselves always, you know, just on the very edge with nothing left that we could share with others. So wastefulness is something we have to be very careful about. One more is pleasure in sports. How much of America's activity and spending falls within the category of fun and entertainment? What proportion do you think? Now, I don't want to be a killjoy and say we could never do anything just for the sake of enjoyment, but how many times in a given period, a week or whatever, and how much, what percentage of our income is given toward, oh, this would be nice, this would be fun, you know, this would be, you know, it would be entirely, the only way you could categorize it is pleasure, sports, you know, entertainment, enjoying, having a good time. This is an area that it's very easy to sin in also. Proverbs 20. Now those who love to the party life, eat, drink, and be merry, they are certainly spending up their substance in a wasteful manner and in a way that is of no value. Wine is a mocker. Strong drink is raging. Whosoever is deceived thereby is not wise. Now this is the fun life. This is the good time. Now let's live it up. Let's, you know, drink and make ourselves merry. And God says, if you fall into that snare, you have been deceived and you are not exhibiting wisdom in this. Chapter 21 and verse 17, he says, he that loveth pleasure and the word in the margin is sport, he shall be a poor man. He that loveth wine and oil shall not be rich. Right? The love of pleasure and, you know, the good times and the enjoyments of life, these will lead again to poverty and will never enable us to get anywhere as far as financially. They will always drain us and keep us from ever being able to accumulate any kind of a valuable treasury that we can use for better things. As it says, treasure it to be desired and oil is in the dwelling of the wise, but those who love wine and oil they will not be rich. Those who love pleasure will certainly be poor. And how many people are poor for that very reason? You know, whether they're gambling or going to the horse races or, you know, going out to the stadium or down to the bars. You know, I hate to think of how much money I wasted spending it in pursuits and of that nature. Absolutely useless things and harmful things, sinful things, and it took every penny I owned, and it was constantly draining me. When I look back on that, it makes me quiver and shake my head. Chapter 23 of Proverbs, verse 19 says, "Hear thou, my son, and be wise." All right, God's going to give us some wisdom here. "Guide thine heart in the way." All right, make sure your heart is going in the right path, so you don't fall into the bypaths of destruction. He says, "Be not among wine bibbers." Our Lord was accused of that. Don't be among the drinkers of wine. You know, that's their pursuit, and that's their behavior. "Among riotous eaters of flesh." You know, those who love feasting and excess eating. Stay away from this. Why? "For the drunkard and the glutton shall come to poverty, and drowsiness shall clothe a man with rags. So hearken unto thy father that begat thee, and despise not thy mother when she is old." Avoid this kind of company, because they'll lead you into bad behaviors that will be very detrimental to you and will eat up your estate very quickly. Poverty and rags come to the drunkard and the glutton, and again, the slothful person, the one who has to sleep it off all the time. And nothing like drunkenness to put you to sleep and wake you up with a hangover. Nothing like gluttony to make you drowsy and lose your energy and your health. And again, also your wealth as well. Verse 29, it says, "Who hath woe? Who hath sorrow? Who hath contentions? Who hath babblings? You know, who hath wounds without cause? Who hath redness of eyes?" You know, whose life is full of nothing but misery and trouble and loss? They that tarry long at the wine, they that go to seek mixed wine. "Look not thou upon the wine when it is red, when it giveth his color in the cup, when it moveth itself aright," which seems to be a description of when it is alcoholic. "At the last it biteth like a serpent and stingeth like an adder. Thine eyes shall behold strange women, and thine heart shall utter perverse things." And certainly with excess of eating and drinking follows immorality, because it's an inflaming of the flesh and a stirring up its lusts and passions and pleasures. It says, "Yea, thou shalt be as he that lieth down in the midst of the sea, or as he that lieth upon the top of a mast. They have stricken me, shalt thou say, and I was not sick. They have beaten me, and I felt it not. When shall I awake? I will seek it yet again." In other words, I didn't learn a thing. Every hangover, you swear off drinking, and the next Friday night, you're right back at the bottle. And again, how many people go out to fancy restaurants and buy, you know, big spreads, and they go out and they drink and they take out the women, and the women need to be, you know, wined and dined and treated out to all the best things. And again, it's the way to poverty. It's the way to poverty. You might as well pick up a rattlesnake and play with that, because you're going to get bit and it's going to be a painful bite. Chapter 28, verse 19. It says there, "He that tilleth his land shall have plenty of bread." In other words, when it's time to plow, get out there and turn that ground over and get the work done. But he that followeth after vain persons shall have poverty enough. What's a vain person? Someone that doesn't look at life and its realities and its responsibilities and all the things that are necessary to live life properly. Eh, let's go have a good time. Let's go here. Let's go there. They're always running after pleasure, fun, entertainment. You get caught up with a crowd like that, and without fail, you'll have plenty of poverty. Not plenty to eat, but plenty of poverty. That's what he's saying here. You tell those people you can ruin your life, and you can treat life like it's a big game, you know, nothing but laughs and fun, and you can try to get out of your responsibilities and not work and do the other things that are responsible and necessary. But I'm going to just keep plowing. Thank you. And leave those people to their own folly. Don't join them in it. One more, chapter 31, verse 6 and 7. Give strong drink unto him that's ready to perish, and wine to those that be of heavy hearts. See, that's the idea. I'm having nothing but trouble. Everything's going wrong. My life is full of sorrow and grief. And I think, you know, the best thing to do is kind of drown my troubles in the bottle. You know, drink and have a good time and forget my problems. Let him drink and forget his poverty and remember his misery no more. In other words, get so caught up in your foolish living, in your fun and games and your pleasures and pursuits, that you forget what is really going on. It's like someone that's got bill collectors chasing them, and they're still going out and having a good time and spending it up as if all was well. He'll forget for the time, but you know what? When you wake up, you're that much worse off. The problem didn't go away, and now things are even more difficult than when you tried to avoid them or forget them by immersing yourself in pleasure. And that's not the way to correct a problem. And so again, how sad it is that people, and you all know people like this, I'm sure you've met them and observed them in your life, you think, how can they just keep going that way and ignoring reality and just trying to continue like all is well when their whole life is coming crashing down around them and they seem either oblivious to it or unwilling to face it until finally there's no escape and then the poverty hits them full force and they're destroyed and their estates are ruined and their lives become a complete loss. Well, may God keep us again from those problems. And the way he does it is by keeping us from those behaviors. Let's close in prayer.